Before we jump into today's episode, our guest this week is Justin Lin, who's a good friend of yours, Jess.
He is a good friend of mine.
And how long have you known him? Long time, right?
Well, I knew him way back in the day, and then we've reconnected recently, and I just think he's the coolest dude.
He is the coolest dude. Since we recorded this interview, he has released some new music. It's a single called Demon. So we're going to play that, then we'll jump into the interview.
You can also find more of his music on our website, talkmusictomeslc, and we'll have links to his music there.
All right, so here's Justin Lin with Demons.
Welcome to Talk Music to Me episode.
No idea.
We're here with Justin Lin, my favorite musician that has been around forever. And we're so excited to have you on the show.
See my crow's feet on here?
Well, so I want to get like right into it. So I'm here with Alan. I'm Jess. This is Justin.
And Justin, you're coming to us from San Diego. You are currently not on fire with the rest of California. Woo-hoo! Thank God.
Not on fire. Thank God. Yeah, we're very blessed to. We live at the beach, so we're in the safety zone. But yeah, our hearts go out to everybody that's been affected by the fires. Like, it's just terrible.
Well, between the fires and the pandemic, we've had, you know, winds here, which is not nearly as bad as what you guys are dealing with. We've had earthquakes here, which is something we're not used to.
Yeah.
I mean, just everywhere, it seems like shit is just going crazy. So
Mother Nature is pissed.
She's super pissed right now. She's
trying to like take the whole world down just to prove a point.
She's coming out with a vengeance for sure.
I think I was watching. Have you guys watched the Social Dilemma?
Not yet.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through it. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I watched the other half last night or the night before, and yeah, it's crazy. But just to quote something out of there, it's like, it's just like mother now saying checkmate, you know? like
it does seem that way.
Do something. It's on you guys. Yeah.
Yeah. It just kind of keeps getting a little bit worse. I don't know. It's kind of strange because I don't even really get that stressed out when I see the news. I'm like, oh well, I guess everything's on fire. That's cool.
I know.
Bad news is just we've normal.
I don't know how it is in Utah, but here the governor is pulled back and then gone forward with restrictions, you know, quite a few times. I mean, and I understand it because we have a lot of people here and we have, for some reason, a lot of anti-maskers here too, but you know, yeah, there's like, but, that's Huntington Beach mostly, but yeah, it seems to be that, you know, it's like, you kind of get sick of hearing about it. Eventually you just go, okay, we're purple now, we're red tier, whatever it is. Like,
that's so true.
You know, we follow suit, we take precautions, do all that. And it's like, you know, if everybody just does that, then we'll get back to going to shows. And
that's all I want shows and I want football. And that's basically all I want right now. Like, I just want people to stop being idiots and let's get through it. But
I was going to say, I want shows and I want brunch. Getting my brunch back.
So how have you...
Mimosas.
Mimosas, come back.
But you've been super busy up before the quarantine. And we'll get into all that. But how have you stayed busy during the quarantine?
A lot of this, I've got a little home studio set up. It's nothing too glamorous, but I've been doing a lot of just like remote recording work for people. And a couple guys in LA that ask me to do stuff every now and then that want like a lead guitar part for like a country pop artist. Or there's this one girl that's like a Disney chick that they're, you know, they're demoing and they just need some like, you know, lead guitar stuff on there or just little things like that. And so that's been fun. I've been truly blessed that that stuff has taken off for me more in the last year, certainly more than ever. It's a lot of fun. You got to get out of your comfort zone, you know, like I'm kind of known for writing or making music in like pop punk or rock or emo or whatever, that kind of, you know, indie rock stuff. But like, it's cool to get like a pop country tune that kind of lets me get out of my wheelhouse or like a yacht rock tune or something. Like, it's just like, oh, I used to yell at my dad for playing Steely Dan when I was a kid. And now I'm like, oh, I really get it now. Like, well, I guess I'm just old and that's being a dad too.
But. Yeah. Well, as I say, we're all getting up there, but at least we're cool. Like, that's the whole thing.
That's right. Yeah.
At least we're cool.
You guys are very cool. He's got the Rancid hoodie on. You've got blue hair.
Thanks.
My parents were that cool.
I know, right? I don't know. My dad was pretty cool. So was my mom.
Your dad was pretty cool. My parents are not cool. They're like, not at all cool. This is my rebellion. I'm almost 40, and I'm still rebelling against my parents. It's fun.
same, dude.
They're fun parents, Alan. They're very fun
They're
parents.
They're fun. Yes, I wouldn't say they're cool, but they're fun. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, as I say, I want to say kind of my background with Justin. I met him forever ago. What was it like, early 2000s when you were in Larger Than Life?
Yeah. That was like 2003 to 2006 that we did that.
Yeah. And I was a promoter for Sony BMG plus all the other labels like Militia Group and things like that.
That's right. Yeah.
And I ran across your path, and there was at one point after a Warped Tour that I think the you and the guys from Larger Than Life actually stayed at my apartment. Cause
yeah, it's a lot dudes. Of hazy memories.
Poor dudes. I know.
It's a little fuzzy going back on that stuff because I was so young. I was like 19, 20. But yeah, it was really fun. That whole Larger Than Life thing was, they were like a staple in San Diego. So I was the second singer to join the band. They lost their original singer, John. And I was a fan of the band. We had played shows together and they were just, they were like the it pop punk band in at least in San Diego. You know, they were getting a lot of buzz for a while. And so when Roland approached me and asked me to join the band, and then we just went off right after that and did Warped Tour. At the same time, I was playing guitar for my buddy's band, Bleed the Dream, out of LA, which is a screamo band. So I would be in a bus traveling with those guys because that was like my job. I was 19. And I was like, oh, great. I get to be on a tour bus.
That's
now.
So cool.
And then the Larger Than Life guys decided, well, if you're going to be like officially on the tour, then we're going to like guerrilla style the whole tour, because we had this guy, James, that we knew that. It's like, I'll get you guys in. I've done him a bunch of, he was a shady dude. But anyway, because I had a legit pass every day and was playing in there, we kind of worked our way in. And then, so a lot of times like, I would go play with Bleed the Dream on like the Hurley or the Volcom stage, sometimes the main stage. Like I remember that was the year that like Fall Out Boy and Mike Hem and Avenged Sevenfold like really blew up. They were just the big in Under Oath. And, so sometimes we would play like right before these bands on like the main stage, because Bleed the Dream was on Kevin Lyman's label. So they would get a little boost just from that. And so I would do that. And then I would like run, change my shirt, and then run and go play like the MySpace tent or something, you know, with Larger Than Life. And it was a lot of fun. And then that band ended when we got home, like about a year after. And we started to start a three-piece rock band called The New Addiction.
I was going to say, the song Over Now is still my favorite song. I freaking love that song.
Oh, yeah. So that's Vinyl Film. That was a band I started a couple years later. Yeah.
See?
No, I didn't send you anything because I'm just completely losing my mind this week. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. See, you've been in so many bands, I get them mixed up.
Well, so in Larger Than Life, you were the second singer. So you came in replacing the first singer.
Yeah. They had an album called If Tomorrow Never Came that did pretty well, and they were getting a lot of buzz from that. And then a couple years later, their singer quit. Well, actually, maybe a year or so. It's hard to remember exactly the timeline, but they had an entire record pretty much in the can music-wise, or like about three-quarters of it. And their singer was gone. He moved somewhere in the United States. I don't know. We never really crossed paths. You know, I like the guy. I was a fan of their band, you know, but I just never really, there was no ill will or bad blood. It was just like, cool, you know. I guess, you know, I'm kind of like that. I don't really worry about what other people around me or the criticism so much. I mean, if it's good criticism, sure. But if it's like the haters, you know, like, and there was certainly, there was a fair amount of haters just in our little local bubble.
Uh-huh.
Of people like, he's not the same, you know, he's never going to be John. And I was like, I'm not trying to be, you know, I was just doing me. And yeah. I'd already had my band and we were doing our thing. So it was like, hey, this is like me playing some music with some other friends and just the next step. And, mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun, but yeah, we did an album together called And the Band Played On, which was cool. It's hard for me to listen to some of that stuff now because I just, you know, it's like listening to yourself when you're 18 or 19 years old,
when
or if you were to watch a video. Yeah, it's cool that it's out there to document it, but at the same time, it's like, oh God, I would have sung that differently. Why don't we drop it down and have a step or all that kind of stuff?
It's tough. I mean, I imagine it's got to be tough coming into a band that's already got the dynamic. They're already kind of cohesive, and then you're filling in kind of the front man role. Like that's, I mean, I'm getting some AC/DC vibes here. Like that's gotta be a really difficult thing to do. Yeah.
Okay. So you went from Larger Than Life to Vinyl Film.
So Larger Than Life. Then we started a band called The New Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
We put out an album called No Progress Without Change that actually it took like the origin or the, impetus of Larger Than Life, and we just kind of it started to go in that trend of, you know, if you'll remember music in like 05, 06 started to get into a little bit more of a heavier, a little more serious tone. And so, we were doing like some drop D stuff and some heavier stuff. And I wouldn't call it like hard rock by any means, but it was definitely more rock and roll based than like pop punk or that kind of thing. And then that band dissolved. And then I formed a band with some friends that was really like, I guess my first venture into like solo writing in a way, which was, I've always written songs for all my bands and it's always been like that. But this is this was a three piece, more indie rock influenced band called Vinyl Film. And that was with my buds, Marco and Miles. And we had a great time. We did a lot of cool stuff. We did a couple tours. We went all the way up the West Coast. We went out to Utah and Colorado a few times, but just like you know, it's hard to keep a band together, just like it's like anything.
Life
got in the way, and I took a few years off from music after that ended. I never stopped, you know. I've been doing this like 22 years or something, but it's like when that band, I had put so much into it, so much heart and soul, that when we kind of imploded, so to speak, it was like, okay, I'm just gonna have fun with music at this point if something comes around. And then the New Addiction ended up getting back together a couple years later. We did another EP, and then now about almost 2 years ago, or no, about a year and a half ago, got the call from a friend, through a friend, that Save Ferris was looking for a guitar player.
Which is so exciting. Were you like,
which was really cool. Yeah. That was like a big moment for me, you know, and it was, I had to audition and the whole thing.
Was that scary?
Like, you know, I've been doing it long enough that it's like, I've been in a lot of different situations, even all those bands that we just touched on, like, and if you want to go into it more, we can, but it's like, I was still playing in other people's bands. Like somebody asked me to go play guitar in this band. Oh, okay, I'll go play with you guys. Or, you know, there's a laundry list of tons of bands that I've replaced that guitar player, or, you know, was the guitar player for this amount of time, whatever. As with a lot of guys in our scene, that's just kind of the nature, you know, you just kept going. So the audition process wasn't as nerve-wracking, but when I got there, I had to listen to another guy. I had to sit there and listen to another guy audition before me. And then like he walked out, you know, and I had to like do the whole awkward like, hey man,
good job, man.
Good job, bro. Like, yeah. And it was cool though. It's like right after the manager sat us down and was just like, hey, you know, this is it. Like, okay, here's the itinerary. We got Riot Fest, and then you're going straight to Europe with Goldfinger and Less Than Jake. And it was a whirlwind. It was, and right at that same time, this was last September, when we had this big tour cycle and big itinerary, my daughter, my second child, my little girl was born 10 days or something before we left for Europe.
That's rough.
3 weeks.
Oh my gosh. Was so your girlfriend like so stressed out? Was she like, what are you doing to me?
She was absolutely amazing. Like, you know, I'm really, really fortunate. I think it's really important to have like a strong support system when you choose this unconventional path, artistry or whatever it is, you know, because or you just have to be really good at not giving a shit what your parents or anybody else thinks. Like, I don't know if you guys follow Gary Vee, but you know, he's like always preaching that shit. And it's true. You know what I mean? Like if you want to do something, just you might. I was fortunate enough that my parents always supported it and that my partner supported it. We had a lot of help, you know, we have family close by that was helpful in the beginning there, but it was crazy for sure. You know,
that's a tough situation. Now, did you join the band during the reunion, or was this after the reunion?
Ferris?
Wasn't there a long hiatus or something in between, and then they got back together?
Yeah, the band was really inactive from like 2003 2003, I think, till about 2015 or 16, something like that. And then Monique Powell, the lead singer and like the nucleus of the band, she decided to reform the band after taking like 12 years off or something. So she brought Save Ferris back, and that lineup, they made an EP called, I should know this.
We're putting you on the spot.
Golden Silence is on there. So they made an EP, and then that lineup didn't last, and so then we were the new crop of guys.
Okay.
And it's been good, you know. It's everything is so in limbo right now with the touring world, in the music industry, so that Mo's off doing her thing, but we did get together and did a live stream in Vegas a couple months ago, and that was a lot of fun.
How did that go? Yeah, I was gonna say, was it strange to be in front of a camera? Well, was it just in front of a computer? Like, how did they do it?
No, it's pretty. So it was at this venue, Backstage Bar and Billiards in Vegas, and it's probably like a 1,000 cap club. Pretty, you know, it's a decent size, nice venue, but they had a whole setup. They had like three or four cameras, so they would bounce back from different angles, and then everything was run through a mixing board. So everything was professionally mixed, and then, you know, live, they had the YouTube feed going at the same time as the Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. There was definitely like some kinks to work out with the initial, test feed and everything like that, but we were able to get it all going in time. But
were you all on stage together, or were you in separate rooms? How did that
work?
No,
we were all on stage. It was weird because I had been doing, we had been very careful as a family since all of the, like since early March with all of this, you know, so we didn't like, I hadn't been anywhere. I hadn't been on a plane or, you know, we drove out there, but it's like, it was really careful, but it was weird to go into Vegas. We stayed at the Golden Nugget, which is off Fremont Street in downtown Vegas, you know, and it was like, there was a ton of people out gambling. I mean, they had just made masks mandatory at that time. So it was interesting, but I think a lot of us were just kind of on high alert still, and just kind of, you know, we got food a couple times, but we didn't hang. We were very careful about just, I mostly hung out in rooms in the venue for rehearsal and then the stream, but everybody was, you know, the crew was all messed up and everything. It was all the precautions were taken, but it's interesting because it's like there was only probably like 10 people in the room, all separated, and it's like, so after every song, you can hear it. You can go to YouTube right now and watch it still. It's like, you know, you can just hear like, it's like five people clapping, as opposed to like when you normally play a show and there's like 5,000 people laughing. So,
well, you guys
a
are
little
brave.
Bit of that energy, you lose that energy, you know, which you're not going to be able to replace that.
Right.
You can't.
It's just not the same. It'll never be the same. And I'm not sure. I don't know how long until concerts will feel the same, even when we start having shows again. But I'll tell you, you guys are brave because you guys went to Vegas. Like, of all the cities in America, I think Vegas is probably the one I'm scared of the most right now, because it's disgusting on a normal day.
Yeah, there was a couple of times where I really had to hold my tongue. There was like a one night when I was, or actually the night I think I left the live stream, and we were coming back to the hotel, and I was going back up to my room. I had my own room, and I was just going to go chill out. And there was like some girl that was definitely partying with her boyfriend, and she was like, "Oh yeah, I got to put on my mask because people are out protesting. This is all bullshit, this and that," you know. I took everything in me to not say something, but it was just like, you could just see like the boyfriend or husband just kind of looking around like,
yeah, please stop talking.
She's a wild one. So
yeah.
You're a more patient man than I am. I can't help it sometimes. It just drives me crazy.
Well, yeah, there ain't no cure for stupid, you know?
That's true. Oh my gosh. I know there's videos out right now of people in Utah protesting the masks that are just the most ridiculous things I've ever seen.
So embarrassing.
And I'm so embarrassed. Yeah.
So embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I there's so much misinformation regurgitated now out there, and it's hard to know what to believe. Mm-hmm. It is, you know, you got to really like research your resources and make sure you're getting credible news. And I don't know, like you were saying, you know, you can't live in it though either. You gotta, we're all adjusting, we're all adapting, you know, and
yeah,
that's the key.
Well, and so during this time, you've mentioned that, you know, that you do like different musical work, like you'll record different things. So it kind of sounds like you're a musician for hire, essentially, like if people need help with their project.
Kind of, yeah, it's kind of become that.
Yeah, you know? And
just,
how is that?
Really cool.
Yeah.
It's really fun. My favorite guitar player in the planet, Johnny Marr from the Smiths, and he's kind of known. I don't think I play like him, but he's by far my favorite guitar player, and he's not like a shredder or anything. He's just really tasteful, comes up with these little jangly parts that just are his thing. And he's kind of known for joining bands for like one album, you know, and like, it's like, they're like, he joined Modest Mouse, made a great album, then dipped out. And he joined this band, the Cribs, this great rock band from the UK, and made this killer record. And then, I guess I'm kind of modeling myself after that now. I would love to be, you know, in one band forever. When we were growing up, you know, our favorite bands were Rancid and Green Day and Op Ivy and all that stuff. And I always wanted to be in a band with my high school friends for the rest of my life, you know, but you end up realizing that that's a really rare thing, a really rare story. You know,
the more we do this show and the more we interview musicians, the more I'm real, because it always seems to me like, oh, this band's been together forever and this band's been together forever. But the more I'm realizing that is very rarely the case, that they're like, we had Jay Navarro from the Suicide Machines on. And I mean, he was pretty open about some of the, you know, how the bad blood between he and the other founding member. And it's not an easy thing to do. So I think you seem to have found a nice little way to do your passion and keep it fresh. Because I always wonder, and I've asked a lot of people this, how do you get on stage and play the same song you've been playing for 30 years? Like the same hit song. Like, to me, that would get super old. So I would imagine, you know, being able to kind of, you know, work with different artists and musicians, that you're keeping it fresh.
Yeah. I guess that's, you know, I'm Sagittarius. So it's like, there's something about me that like, I need that excitement, you know, and when things hit a lull, sometimes I tend to run, you know, not necessarily, but, bands are, you know, besides the musical chemistry, even more so important is probably what they call the hang, you know? So you should be able to, and I'm really fortunate with that group with Save Ferris, this lineup that's been going for the last year and a half, that we all get along really, really well. You know, there's no huge ego, there's nobody. And we're all kind of gun for hires in a sense. Everybody's got all sorts of different projects. Everyone's into a lot of different styles of music. Those guys live in LA. They're inundated with a lot of other stuff all the time. And I prefer, like, I live in San Diego. There's a little less hustle and bustle. It's there now more than ever, but it's like, I prefer a little bit of that breathability in that room to just create and have, and it's always important just to remember like why you do this, you know, if it starts to feel like I'm just doing this for some paycheck, then I don't know, then I would probably reevaluate it, you know, but I'm fortunate enough that I'm at a level now where I'm making some money and getting to do what I love, you know, so.
Well, and that
thanks, Mom, for the guitar lessons.
Yeah, thanks, Mom.
Really paid off.
Well, and I was going to say, so that kind of leads me into, so you said you're working on a solo project and you're going to have a release coming out soon.
Yeah. So I did my first like proper solo release about 3 years ago. It's an EP called Love, Death, Hope. It's on all the streaming platforms. Just like pop rock tunes. Kind of has a little bit, you know, there's some 80s vibe in there. There's some 90s punk vibes. There's some modern day indie rock vibes. It's just all over the map. But I have a single coming out that that I'm working with some friends. I have some good friends that just opened up a commercial studio space out in like the El Centro Valley area of Southern California. So, but yeah, some really awesome people involved on this particular song I'm going to be releasing, and I can't say who just yet, but we've got like some pretty awesome people that decided to help out just
out
randomly
of the blue.
Offer their services. Yeah, it was really cool.
That's so cool and
mix and help with some guitar stuff. So I'm very fortunate. Like, you know, even the solo stuff is really a passion project for me. It's I don't make a paycheck doing that. It's very much like, okay, this is the music I want to make. So
I was just going to ask like the difference between, you know, going to work on one project with a band and then going home to work on your own solo stuff. Is that where you kind of keep your heart? Like, is that where you get most excited?
Yeah, I think so. But I think it's equally exciting. There's like two sides of me musically there's that side of me that's really the songwriter guy that's more about a really good song. I think that's always the most important thing, honestly, for me. I didn't grow up being a guitar player that, not to take anything away from these guys, they're amazing, but like the Joe Satrianis and the Steve Vais and these guys that were just the super alien shredder guys, were not my thing. As I've gotten older, I've gotten more into like theory and technique and some of those things and tone stuff, but it's an endless rabbit hole when you get into that stuff. And so there's that side of me. It's really fun to be like a lead guitar player, but at the end of the day, it's just gotta be a really good song for me, you know? And that's really what it means the most. And it's because I personally don't have the attention span to listen to somebody wank for like 15 minutes, but if there's a really good song behind it, sure.
Yeah. You know? Do you find yourself being a perfectionist when it comes to your own music?
No, absolutely. Yeah, I'm driving the engineer I'm working with on this song crazy right now because he's sending me like little tidbits of mixes and things like that, and I'm already like making adjustments. Like, oh, you know, you need to like, you know, pull up the harmonies here, and you know, can you round out the snare tone and all this stuff? And I can already tell like I'm a huge pain in the ass, but he's being very nice about it. So yeah, I'm a huge perfectionist and OCD about that stuff. But at the same time, you'll hear a lot of musicians say that like the first couple takes when you're doing something are usually the best. And I've really found that doing it this long, that's usually the case, is that it's like when the mojo's there and you're not thinking about it so much is usually like your best performance.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
Yeah, you get in your own head and that's when things kind of fall apart a little. I don't want to say fall apart, but that's when it gets a little muddled.
Overcorrect.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you're just finding that you're like polishing a turd, you know, or you're trying to. Like, it's like, wait, sometimes you just got to go like, no, this isn't good enough. Like this song sucks. Like just move on, you know, or this idea is not going anywhere.
I'm so stubborn that I will work on something that I deep down know is garbage.
Until the turd is gone.
Until 3 weeks too long. Yeah, and then it's like, all right, it's time to abandon this thing. So okay. So musicians, especially ones with eclectic taste, and you know, they don't like to stick in one genre. They hate it when this question pops up. But I'm always curious. I have kind of one main love when it comes to genres. It's always going to be punk rock. Like that's just how it is. So I gotta say, like if I were to hold your feet to the fire. Tell you to what's your first and main love when it comes to music,
like genre wise,
or band wise, or record, whatever you want to do.
I'd say rock and roll. Like first and foremost, it's really hard for me to pick like a favorite band. You know, when I was a kid, Green Day was like absolutely the first thing. I'm 35 years old, so when Dookie came out, that just like. I was into like Aerosmith and like Elton John and Michael Jackson before that.
Oh, hell kid, yeah. You
know? Which is rad. You know, I mean, I love all that stuff still, but it's like that blew the doors open for punk rock for me. And then, we living in San Diego by the beach, I was really fortunate that I was raised by a single mom. And so we moved to this little duplex house in the beach in Carlsbad. And there were some guys down the street that were probably 10 years older than me that had this half pipe, or sorry, like a quarter pipe in their front yard. And they were assembling skateboards all day long and surfing and playing punk rock music. And so naturally I was like, I want to go hang out with those guys. And my mom was pretty cool. You know, she had to check them out first, make sure they were cool, but they kind of took me under their wing and they were like, hey, that's cool. You like, you know, Green Day or whatever, but they're like, here, listen to Bad Religion. Here's No Effects Ribbed and Pennywise. And there's so much stuff. And so that kind of like all that Fat Records Epitaph stuff kind of really seeped. And then, you know, bands like Green Day, though, made me go back and listen to what they were influenced by, like The Clash and Operation Ivy and Husker Du and The Ramones and The Replacements. So all those bands became very influential to me. I would have to say, but then like, I have really fond memories of The Police, the band The Police, when I was a kid. My dad would play The Police, you know, and that was like the first time I can remember being a kid and getting like chills from music. And to this day, The Police will be one of my favorite bands, but they were kind of faking the punk thing in the beginning. They were too good.
Okay, yeah. So wait, I gotta know about your mom. You said that your mom taught you how to play guitar. I gotta know more about her.
Oh, she didn't teach me to play guitar, but she definitely got me guitar lessons.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah. My mom, rest in peace. She passed away 3 years. Actually, it'll be 3 years on Monday.
Aww.
This coming Monday. She was, we got a picture of her somewhere here. She was absolutely like a driving in me pursuing my love for music. And my dad is a drummer and, you know, he's been a great dad. He lives very close and he's a wonderful grandfather to my kids, but it was funny because my mom growing up played a lot more, she was from Staten Island, New York, and East Coast. And uh-huh. She grew up with like Motown and a lot of R&B and that kind of stuff. And so yeah, she loved like disco.
My mom's from Connecticut. Yeah. So Motown.
Oh, cool.
And my dad was obsessed with disco. So I'm like, oh, hells yeah.
my dad went to Hollywood High. So there was like this influence of like he was like the rock and roll influence. And he would pull out when I was a kid. You know, he was like, oh, cool. You're into this third wave of punk happening right now. This, you know, obviously 94 was like just such a boom of a year for punk rock music in the mainstream. But that he would pull out like, here's Nevermind the Bullocks by the Sex Pistols or Buzzcocks Singles Going Steady. And he'd be like, this is where it came from. And that was to blow my mind. But then he would put on AC/DC and Led Zeppelin and stuff like that too. And so I got a healthy dose of I guess, music history just from that.
Mm-hmm.
But it always comes back to the songs and melodies, you know, same way you can listen to like like Michael Jackson Thriller. It's like the songs are just timeless, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, that's really always what it's been about for me. So whether it's punk rock or, you know, pop music, it's all, if it's a good hook or a good song, like I'm into it. But yeah, I mean, I like loud guitars and cranking amps and stuff. So if I had to choose, it's definitely gonna be rock or punk rock in terms of the niche I fit into. And, you know, I'm a misfit at heart. So
well, I think it's awesome. It seems like you're like a little butterfly between all of the groups. Cause it's like, I could play that.
Well, I found that most musicians are kind of like that. I was a little worried that you were weaseling out of the question there, but you brought it back. You brought it back strong.
Please, yeah. you can put, you know, go ahead and hammer on me. I'm losing track. I'll go off and I'll lose my train of thought, but.
Well, it took me a long time. It took me a very long time to even appreciate other. I mean, I was such a stubborn teenager and kid, and you know, like you said, I mean, when Dookie came out for me, it was Smash. It was Offspring. That's what that's what blew my mind open. And then and then I was like one track mind forever. But then when I started listening to the older stuff, like the Ramones and the Sex Pistols, and the Clash, that's when I started to appreciate other forms of music, especially the Clash, because they're like they're pretty reggae at times too. So
absolutely reggae, hip hop. They got into so many various genres. Yeah, I really do think the Clash is the ultimate of that era of punk rock bands, you know. They were just, they were, you know, Sex Pistols were great, but they were very, you know, they made one record. It's like, right. And it was very calculated. But yeah, huge appreciation for the ethos and the fashion and all of that. And that punk rock's in my blood. No matter what style of music I'm playing, it's coming from that same ethos. You know, it's, you know, Little Richard was punk rock to me.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, so it's just, it's always been about doing what you feel is true in your heart, mm-hmm. and not being full of shit.
Yeah.
But it's, but I don't know. You know, I used to have a cassette. I don't know if there's any kids that watch this. There's these things called cassettes.
They existed, we swear.
And it had Dookie on one side and it had Smash on the other side.
Oh, hell, because they're both
like
30,
it's like they're both like 35-minute long albums, if that. And so it's like they would fit on one whole tape, right? And so I would just constantly click over my Walkman and, you know, I probably wound that tape out with pencil trying to, you know.
I remember fixing
it back to life.
Kids don't understand that the pain of trying to get a pencil in there to twist.
You become an expert at it.
Exactly.
Okay, so wait, I have some questions. Best touring and or music memory and worst.
Oh God, there's so many. countless flat tires in the van, that kind of thing. But those are like rites of passage. You know, those are things that I won't call those bad experiences. Those are like badges of honor. You need, every band should have those. The best touring, that Warped Tour 05 was really incredible for me because I got to play all over the continental US, go places I'd never been, all over Canada. It was such a big year for that scene and just such a life changing experience for me. I got to play Warped Tour a few more times after that in subsequent years. The full thing, and it was just a really, really special time. I met so many great people. It was transformative.
Yeah.
But and Kevin, that's all a testament to Kevin Lyman and just putting together really for all of us in our age group something that really just completely changed the game, and left an impression on an entire generation.
I remember going to Warped Tour and I'd get there at the butt crack of dawn, stand in line all day, get sunburned to a crisp,
100
basically
degree.
Like
of course.
Get to the point of passing out because you don't want to spend money on the food, and then when you get home you've lost 15 pounds, you know, and you can't, you're like so sore you can't move because between the sunburn and being in the pits, you know, like, and the whole time you're just like, that was awesome. Like, it was just, it was so much fun.
Well, and that's from, you know, concert goer's perspective. As a musician, I do that every day. Like, we're like once a summer. I don't know how you do it every single day. That's gotta be rough.
Yeah, the heat on the stages.
I think I was in Phoenix one show and had to use the bathroom. And there was like the closest walk to like the showers and the bathroom. Some of these places that they were in like basketball arenas and stuff that you like, so you would be waiting for to take a second shower in a locker room, a bunch of sweaty dudes. But for some reason like a mile or two like from where our bus was parked. So all we had close to us was a porta potty, and you can't go number two on a bus, guys. And you know, if you take like 110 degree heat and then put that in terms of putting yourself into a porta potty,
oh god,
short, it's not a pleasant experience.
Ew. So,
that's rough. That's so rough.
It's really rough. I'm sure there's a million bands that have that story from the touring those days. But yeah, I think everybody ever did the Warped Tour. I was always at the end of it, like, oh, thank God, that's the like. You know, I need to take like a year's worth of showers after this, but at the same time, then they end up missing it. So
I did learn a very important lesson from people who stayed with us during Warped Tour. Don't like either ask them to bring their own towels or use towels that you don't care about, because literally after all of these disgustingly sweaty, dirty boys took showers, everything was destroyed. I mean, could never use those towels again, you know? And it was,
you know, you probably don't want to, know what's on the
I don't want to know. Like, just burn them. No. They went directly into the trash. And I just remember like how excited people were to get like, I remember I made like a humongous pot of macaroni and cheese or top ramen or something. And people were just like so excited to number one, sleep on the floor, which made me laugh.
Yeah.
And then to just have food that's not from a fast food place. It just cracked me up. But yeah, I definitely learned like, no, you have to use like car towels. You can't let people actually use your nice towels.
You're just nice to let everybody use your bathroom because you'll have to burn down the whole place after that.
Yeah, it was really gross. I'm not going to lie. It was really gross. I was like, I hope they feel better.
It was always like, okay, bring baby wipes and, you know, baby powder. And that was like, that's kind of the way to bypass it. But then there's those bands that were really lucky. Like I remember it was really cool to be able to tour with Mike last year with Goldfinger. But I remember MXPX was a really big band for me when I was a teenager, you know, and they, having seen them multiple times, but that year they were on Warped Tour. And I just remember like they had a shower. So they always looked really like their bus had a shower. So they always looked really clean and really good. That was a great memory. Bad touring experience. I can't say that anything was really ever terrible, but just there have been times when you get to a venue, cancel a show, or promoter was shady about a check. And I remember we played this was with Vinyl Film. We were on tour with our friends band down here. We were all up the West Coast. We went up to I think Portland and back. We were somewhere outside of Portland, and they just completely shaded us on it for the or whatever. But it was like one of those things where it's like, oh yeah, you know, make sure write down your address, and we'll send you the check after the show.
Checks in the mail.
Never happened.
Don't worry about it. Mail.
Yeah, and we were fortunate enough to have like that Brutus of a manager or something to come in, and or even any. We were our own tour managers, you know. So it was a. They definitely took advantage of some people, but yeah, for the most part, I can't say everything. I don't dwell on anything or have life really, because it's made me who I am, honestly. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's like, it's really true. Like I've done a lot of stupid stuff. I made a lot of mistakes. I've had a lot of, amazing experiences and a lot of terrible experiences, but in the same regard, that's life, you know, that's this adventure. And you know, I'm ready for whatever's next.
And now you're doing the dad thing.
I know. Well, and I was going to say, dad I want to give you a shout out for, you're just so positive and so grateful for things through this whole interview. I'm like, like, I'm very blessed. I'm very lucky. And I'm like, I love that. Good job.
Yeah. I think you got to have, I have to remind myself that, you know, I say it out loud as much to drill it into my own head. PMA, you know, as you know, bad brains going back. But it's like you have to find the lining in this time that we're living in right now.
For
everything,
sure.
You know, I mean, and I can't say that every day I wake up you know, farting rainbows, but it's important. You know, I have two healthy kids. We have a roof over our heads, and we got food in the fridge, you know, and that's always something to be grateful for.
I say, I'm very jealous of your Instagram pictures of you and the kiddos going to the beach. I'm like, oh, I would kill for that. Yeah, right now. Right.
Seriously.
It's like,
that's
I
all
could,
we had.
Yeah.
We don't have anything else open right now. It's like, you can't even go to a playground or anything. I don't know how it is in Utah, but like, they have everything netted off here.
They started opening everything up because our little one just started school again. Well, all three kids just started school, but we just had the highest COVID test amount.
Broke our own record.
We broke our own record today. And I'm just like, oh my God.
I can't imagine why. It's like 2 weeks after school starts.
And we have a lot of anti-maskers who are extremely
angry. Need another pour of wine.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm drinking beer at 5 o'clock.
I know. It's been a long week. No, but I think, we haven't really gone out to do much. I started going out a little bit more, which I don't know is smart or not, but I think I started to kind of lose my mind a little bit, and it was the little things. Like, my favorite thing to do in the summer is to go to the farmers markets And I didn't go for months. And then finally, I just broke down and I went there like right when it opened. I ran through really fast and then I left. But it just like doing anything that had a semblance of normality like really helped. And so yeah, even absolutely. Getting outside was a big, big deal.
I'll tell you what, going to the beach sounds pretty damn good right
now. Oh, the cold water sounds awesome. So nice.
Yeah. How do the kids like having an eclectic musician father?
Yeah.
You'd have to ask them. My son would probably say, I don't care. he's 5 and a half. He's into his own stuff, but he's a genius. He's way smarter than I ever was. And he's like, I feel like, I think that that's dad, you know, to them. Like my daughter seems really interested in music. She'll come running and dancing as soon as I pick up the guitar.
That's so cute. I
got to get my son to a show. He's never seen me on stage. Like he's seen videos and stuff, but he's never been there. So I think that might be the spark. I never force any of my kids to be a musician or if they're smart, they won't. But I'll encourage them in whatever they like to do. I think they just think that's what dad does. And when dad's doing work for a client or tracking guitars, just leave them alone.
Yeah.
You know, but it's really cool. I try to have music in the house as much as possible. They each have little instruments and guitars that they can bang on.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know, I was going to say, well, they'll appreciate it when they get older. My dad started sending me a bunch of pictures and this is dumb, but in the last couple of years, I'm starting to realize how freaking cool he was. I knew it, but I don't think I really knew it until all these photos are starting to come out. And I'm like, damn, my dad was cool. And I'm like, damn, I didn't even know that I grew up in such a cool, like, group of people. And now I'm like looking back and I'm like, oh damn, that was really cool. So I bet they're gonna be like that. I can't imagine what it would be like to see like any family member up on stage. I think I'd probably like lose my shit and die. I'd be like, that's so cool. Like, especially if it was your
son.
Dad.
Yeah. I think then when we did the Save Ferris stream, my lady was here with her mom and they're like, hey, don't you want to watch daddy? And like I think he walked on and he was like, cool. And then back onto, I don't know, YouTube or playing Legos or something, you know. And you know what the kids are? I don't know if you're, how old are you guys' kids?
We got teenagers all the way down to a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We got a preteen in the making.
You'll have to prep me for what's in store.
A lot of talking back.
You only have two, though, so you're good.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the magic numbers, too. We got three, so.
My son's like, I don't know if this is a symptom of the COVID times or just like less interaction or no interaction with other children outside of like a very finite circle. But it's he's like likes to watch these YouTube guys and they're like grown ass men that play like Minecraft and Feed and Grow Fish and all these games.
We
and stuff.
Know
and,
these well.
Yeah. And at first I was like, I'm not comfortable with this. Like this guy's a pedophile.
You know? Right.
And now, and once you watch it enough, it's like, okay. I mean, we try to monitor all that stuff, but it's still like, yeah. And I don't know what the appeal is of watching other people talk while they're playing.
I don't know either.
Computer game, but it's, you know what? It's their thing. And just like our parents probably didn't get our music, you know, and their generation before their parents, I'm sure I'll hate all their music too. But you know, I try not to be that guy. I try to have an open mind, you know.
Like, I try to. I fail, but I try.
It's so much harder than I ever thought it would be to not be that guy.
So how old is your daughter? Or how old is your oldest?
So the oldest, we have two sons. The oldest is 16, middle is 15, and then Allie, the young girl is 9.
Yeah.
Does Allie, has she heard WAP?
No, I hope not.
God, I hope not
either.
Okay,
good.
I try to monitor what she's watching. It's usually like these kid YouTuber type people, you know, but
Dennis.
She loves Dennis. But if she ever, If that song is ever on, I'm throwing her phone in the garbage.
Oh, yeah, that's I it. Don't
it's
doubt
like,
it.
It's hard to know, though. You know, it's like if there's so much coming at. It's like you can't even. How can you even monitor? It's like I don't.
Right.
The influence from their friends, you know, at that point too, is like.
I think that's one thing we're starting to worry about is the friend influence. But then, what do you say? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
I had bad friends. I don't know. It's gonna be hard.
I'll never criticize my parents again.
I think you just gotta just trust that you did the best job that you could, and you guys are. Right. You know,
that's
as long
right.
as you're not smoking crack in front of your children, probably.
Yeah.
Nah, she has gotten used to, you know, we do have a drink in our hands every once in a while, but very few
here.
And far between.
I'd say more, it's more about all the horror decorations all over the house.
Oh, but she's so nice about it. We have as I say in all my Zoom meetings, so we have this huge clown in the corner that's, how tall is he? Over 6 foot?
Yeah, he's probably about 6 foot.
And his name's Hugs, and he's really scary looking, and he's in the back of all my Zoom meetings. And so, like, if it's a professional one, I'll kind of scoot myself over. But a lot of times people are like, what's behind you? And I'm like, don't worry about it.
Just a pet clown, that's all.
I know, and Allie hugs him. Like, I couldn't even hug him for a while. I thought he was going to grab me.
Oh, he's awesome. He's a member of the family. It's great.
I don't have a clown phobia like a lot of people do. It's not really like, you
mine's
know, clowns
slight.
Are misunderstood. I think they're misunderstood.
Yeah, mine's really slight. I just think about...
I've never understood the phobia of clowns. I never understood that one.
I always tell Alan I had a neighbor who had a collection of sad, crying clown paintings in her basement. And it scared the shit out of me. But then I went to, like, you know, Barnum and Bailey Circus, and I thought the clowns were rad. But then clowns at the horror... Like the haunted houses, I'm not a big fan.
Have you watched the movie Wrinkles the Clown?
No, but I've seen this guy. I've seen previews for it.
Okay,
yeah.
You should watch it. It's really good. Like it's not what you think. It's like a documentary.
Yeah.
It's really good. You should give that a watch.
This guy gets like hired out for parties and stuff, right? Or no, he just gets hired out to like scare the shit out of people.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. But there's a big twist.
There's a lot
in
more
it.
To it. Okay.
Yeah, there's
okay.
a big twist. So I would definitely, I mean, anyone out there, but I definitely
check
it out.
You ever watch any of that being a punk rock family? Like, did you guys ever watch any of that Cokie the Clown stuff that Fat Mike
did?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
I don't think
I
watched
any of
that.
At the end of that video where he's just beating the hell out of his face with that mallet.
Dark.
That is like...
I haven't
That's
watched that.
That's tough to watch.
Yeah.
He really did that,
even,
too.
You know, I know a lot. I don't know Fatty personally, but I have a lot of people that are in that circle or that know him. And, like, even he says it's like people can't listen to that record because it's so – he was, like, drinking and doing drugs and just, pouring all of his darkest side out of him. And,
Which is saying
I don't know,
something.
That was a little much for me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he's got a lot of darkness inside him too. So it's tough.
He's brilliant. He's a brilliant guy, but yeah, it's definitely
yeah, for sure.
Certain things are just people aren't ready for.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not ready for it.
Yeah. You share it with your therapist, and that's about it.
That's
you know?
Right.
Yeah. kudos to anybody making art. You know, if you're pushing the limits, when I was a kid, I thought Marilyn Manson was really stupid and maybe even a little creepy when he first came out because it was. You know, now none of that would even be shocking.
Oh, yeah.
But as I got older, I'm just like, oh, this is a fucking great song. Like, The Beautiful People. I'm like, uh-huh. That's a fucking banging song. I love that song.
Yeah,
know,
it
right?
comes
so
hard.
I appreciate the art now.
That's right,
for sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's like Rob Zombie. I never liked Rob Zombie.
Oh, God, I loved Rob Zombie.
And then now, like, Dracula comes on. I'm like, all right.
He freaks out when that song comes on.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I always am, like, surprised because I'm like, really?
It's the theatrics of it all. Because
he loves anything horror. So
yeah, he's genius, too.
Yeah, for sure. Justin, thank you so much for coming on,
thank
man.
Thank you.
Of course, guys.
We will. So your website is Justin Lin Music, and it's .com. With two N's. So Justin Lin Music with two N's .com.
Yeah.
Because I tried Googling you and it brought up the director.
Yeah.
I know that fucking asshole.
I know. I was
He's
like, I can't
your
find
thunder,
anything.
Man.
I told Alan, I said, I was trying to find something, but all I could find is this director dude.
It's like, I don't
know. What's that guy done? Like, he's done, like, Fast and Furious and, like, Star Trek or something.
And,
yeah,
what was the basketball
one? He's definitely peaked me. I can't compete. Yeah. I should probably just change my name.
I don't know, man. You're in Safe Ferris now. That's pretty good.
Hold on.
That's a pretty high bar, so.
That's right.
But
yeah.
He
just Google him and then add another N.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's Lin with two N's, definitely. To take you out, is there a song of yours that you'd like us to play to take you out?
Yeah, off my last EP, there's a song called Horror Show that seems to be the fan favorite.
Sweet.
So. I was listening to that earlier today, actually. Love it. Fantastic song. So, Justin Lin, thank you so much, man.
I know. Thank you, Justin.
And awesome here is here's Justin's song, Horror Show. It's Talk Music to Me.
You like clowns, so I made you this bed. Now you can laugh yourself to sleep.
If you should die before you wake...
Can't sleep. Clown will eat me. Can't sleep. Clown will eat me.
This has been a Studio B production.